Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly radio show where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On this show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with David Ondero. David discusses writing on the road, joining Team Love, and writing South of the South.
But I want to.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good thing. I've got suitcases full and it might be worthy of a party, you know. Bring yours along, we'll blaze them up.
After four full-length records with San Francisco-based Future Farmer, David has continued his transience with the newly founded Team Love label, founded by friend, collaborator, and touring mate Connor Oberst. Here's a snippet of I've Seen the Love from the record South of the South.
Drive around this country pretending like we're famous, wearing our disguises, the people we are not, and I know you're just letting go. Softly fading after all this time. Don't pretend like you don't know me. Treat me like a stranger, like some bum off of the street. Don't you know we were once like gold, set in concrete. You were so confused, yet much too much to.
After years of living in Florida and New Orleans, Dondero's new record was recorded in Austin and notes his sentiment of the region.
You just recently left Future Farmer. Had you finished your contract or you just had the opportunity to go to Team Love?
It was both.
Both?
I just completed my contract with Future Farmer and then, you know, Team Love was a new thing, so I figured I'd give it a try, you know.
And you recorded the record in between the shift, or you had already made the decision to go to Team Love?
Already made the decision, and so they like helped pay for the recording, you know. Mm-hmm. Team Love did, and so it's a handshake deal. There's no contract. It's just like that's the way it is. I like it.
Are the same musicians that worked on the last record on this record as well?
There's Craig D is the only same musician. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of my friends from Austin, Texas were playing on it. You know, like Chris Heinrich, he played pedal steel, and this fellow named Ben played Big Ben played bass. Big Ben on the bass. Mm-hmm. And just a couple other people. Yeah. Several people, random people that I know, like about 11 all together.
Is the themes of, you know, the road and death continued on to this, the South of the South? The themes, do you consider those the kind of themes of your music so far?
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely.
So they're definitely there and they're just, it's like a presence on the record.
I'm trying to shake that though. Mm-hmm. On the song The Journal Burning Party. To try to get a clean slate and write about happier things, but
yeah,
I think I pulled it off for some of the songs on this new one, but it's still lingering on in the background, you know.
Yeah. I guess let's start with the title track, South of the South. What is the story behind that?
It was just inspired by, I spent a lot of years in Florida, and you know, like, most people don't like Florida so much, and they slag it, so I was just like, I wanted to write a song about Florida and some of the good and bad things about it, you know? It's a wonderful place.
Yeah.
It's like its own place. There's no other place on earth like it, so I figured it was worthy of a song called South of the South, you know?
Yeah. Did you actually have a journal burning party?
Not yet, but I want to.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good thing. I've got suitcases full and it might be worthy of a party, you know. Bring yours along, we'll blaze them up.
Yeah. Do you write a lot?
I do, but I go through phases. Mm-hmm. And I don't do it unless I gotta, you know. It's like going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know, lately I've been a little constipated.
You have two tracks on the new record, Summertime Suicide 1 and 2. What is the like they're two separate tracks? What is the disconnection?
I wanted to be like bookends songs, like one depressing version, one happy version, to final out, you know, for the end of the album, ending on a happy note. But it's the same music, just different lyrics. And I don't know. And also in the studio, they both turned out pretty good, I thought. I like the happier one better. So we just kept them both. They're both on there.
You were saying last night that you had actually recorded some with Blake of Rilo Kiley and done some work with other Omaha groups. What affiliation do you have with these guys in Omaha?
I met them back in, say, around 94 with my old band Sunbrain. Ted Stevens, you know, from, like, Lullaby, and he was in Polecat, and at the time got us to come out to Omaha and play a show when we were just putting our first record out, and we got to meet all those guys way back then and have kind of kept in touch ever since. You know, they used to come out and do shows in Georgia with us, mm-hmm. Well, Polecat in particular, and we did some shows in Omaha with Commander Venus, and you know, that's how we've been connected. Met mm-hmm. Blake from Rilo Kiley through Bright Eyes, and mm-hmm. just on down, you know.
Yeah, a lot of your music in the past and on the new record have a theme of highways and being on the road, and you know, being on train, kind of like this wandering traveler, the transient. Do you write more on the road or write more when you're at home looking back at the road?
I write a lot on the road. I write a lot in when I'm driving and trying to steer, you know, so mm-hmm. I'm grabbing a notebook and I'm like writing on the steering wheel, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not good, especially if you're on mountain roads. But it's like you come up with ideas I come up with ideas when I'm traveling a lot of times or just spacing out mm-hmm. on the road. And we're at work, I come up with a lot of ideas, you know. I do a lot of writing. I love to work when I'm not doing this, so I prefer to be working all the time, mm-hmm. you know, like either bartending or try to do carpentry and you know, just various jobs, and that seems to be a catalyst for writing. If I'm just like lazing around the house, I don't tend to get much done.
Inspired, yeah.
Yeah.
When you're on the road, is it looking at what you're seeing, or certain things will jog back to other thoughts, or are you never thinking really about the present, but more just looking at the past?
Well, it just depends, you know. Sometimes, you know, you're reflecting back on whatever happened last night or last week, but sometimes you're just right there in the present and trying to develop that present image into something that would be worth singing about, you know. But it's just a lot of times it's hit or miss, and just throw a bunch of scraps of paper away into the garbage can. Yeah. You know?
The song "You Shouldn't Leave a Lover Alone," was that on a previous record as well?
No.
Was it?
Well, it was on the live record. Yeah. When I first wrote it, it was on that live record, and then we did it in the studio. Yeah. And
are there any other songs that are on the live record that haven't either been played or recorded in studio?
I don't think so. No. The others are all on records, records.
So this is kind of the cap of the Live at the Hemlock.
Too long. Love will find another, then the lover is gone. Find yourself alone in the setting sun. Gonna take a couple years before the next dawn, yeah. If your light is gone, and my love is gone. Lonesome leaves the bitters, and the bitters ease the pains, and the pains start bubbling from your heart to your brain. Swear you'll never ever make her cry again. You started welling in her eye again. She was your best friend, but you did it again and again. And I know that you're tired of the drama, know that you're tired of the strain,
know that you're tired of our love affair.
We saw you last night at the in Dallas, and you were by yourself in the record. Do you have a full band? Do you prefer to work with a full band like you have in the past, or tour solo?
I prefer touring with Craig D. Him and I, just as a duet, is my favorite way to tour. Touring completely solo is starting to become a drag, because I got it's you know, I used to kind of like it, but I don't like to do it that much anymore, all by myself. But it's great with Craig D. We have a great time. I've taken out a 5-piece band before, and it was kind of a disaster. I mean, musically it was a lot of fun, but you know, some of the people got, one of the guys lost his mind, and the other guy, he just didn't work out. I don't want to go into details, but it was a bad scene, you know. It all kind of dissolved. So now it's hard to decide whether or not. I put together a 5-piece band for the South by Southwest, and then some people that are used to seeing me with Craig D, they enjoy that way, and they were kind of bummed out about having the 5-piece band. They were like, "Oh man, it's too much," you know. They couldn't, you know. So it's like it's hard to decide. You know, obviously, you know, just Craig and I, it's easier to make it money-wise. You know, we don't make a whole lot of money out there. More, what's the word I'm looking for?
Financially
doable, you know, like, if I got to pay his rent and my rent back in San Francisco, you know, it's hard to pay three other guys' rent, you know, and pay for all their food and their, and the gas.
On the road, the
and all the housing, you know, if you got five people, people are less inclined to let you stay at their house, you know.
Yeah.
Like if it's just Craig and I, people are more inclined. Like friends will be like, "Yeah, why don't you guys come stay at our apartment in New York City?" You know, that's fine, you know. But if you got five people, you gotta split it up or get a hotel. You know, that's $220 in New York City to get a hotel, and you know, it's just very expensive, and especially if you're making like, you know, $100, $150 a night, and you know, selling $100 worth of merchandise, you know, divvying it up five ways, it doesn't go really that far. So that's the you know, then it's like, well, should you bring a band? Maybe more people would come, you know, if you had a band and it was like, wow, look at that band, you know. But I don't know. I prefer just Craig and I, so that's the answer.
And it's not like you would ever see that on a flyer. David Onodero and the band, you know, it's not like that's
and
the
I,
component.
And I wonder, like, people probably are disappointed, like, it doesn't sound exactly like the CD.
Yeah.
But I'd rather not ever sound exactly like the CD and just have every night be different, and every time you play the song be a little bit different. It makes it more interesting for me and hopefully for the audience, you know.
What was the band you played with at South by Southwest?
Those are most of the people that played on the new record.
Okay.
Which I still might bring them, you know, if we got some really good opportunity, you know, open it up for some big fancy band, you know, like, I might bring them, you know, for a couple weeks.
Slip away, and I've been so lonely, so much I could not say, and are you still just okay?
Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guest today, David Dondero, can be found on his website, team-love.com. Music samples in the show are from his 2005 record, South of the South. For more information on this release, visit team-love.com. For more information, including a transcription of this interview, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in its production, send your thoughts to indieinterviews@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you next week.